Again, this is the person work of the Holy Spirit class. Again, lesson 14, question 6. So the examples of water supplied to Israel in the wilderness are to teach us what aspect of the Holy Spirit. So as we've studied the Holy Spirit, we've talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works during our salvation, how the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces us regarding the Bible and Christ himself. Now, in this section, Rideout brings another function or aspect of what or how the Holy Spirit works. So what is Rideout pointing out through the scripture verses regarding Israel in the wilderness and the Holy Spirit's role? Remember last time we were talking about the water and obeying God. That was the last question about water. And follow on to that is what is the scripture verses in regarding Israel, basically how they responded and what the Holy Spirit's role was in the wilderness. What was the main point of that, you know, point of write out? What did the Holy Spirit do for Israel? Silence. We need to get, I don't want to, I'll threaten you. I'll go back one question.
You don't want to do that. Water.
What's that, Cheryl?
Water. He provided water.
Yeah, and what did that do?
Well, I think in plain, simple English, what they were dying of thirst.
So what did the water do?
Yeah, it refreshed them. It gave them.
Refreshed them.
It gave them.
Refreshed them.
Yeah.
You know, you're down in Florida where the hot, you know, 88 degrees feels like 99. You need water.
Yeah.
And it refreshes you.
Yeah.
So he's pointing out here how the Holy Spirit in Israel in the wilderness, basically he refreshed them. He provided water, you know, striking the rock and here comes the water and it refreshed them. So how does the Holy Spirit refresh us?
I wrote down his ministry to us in applying God's word to us for the purpose of spiritual growth, cleansing and refreshing us.
Okay. Others?
I think there's a process of learning here that that the Spirit of God has abundant resources to, like Jim was saying, to refresh us, to teach us, to guide us, to allow us to abide in Christ that comes from no other source. And he is, I think the word abundant is a good word because he's got more than we need, you know.
Well, I'll drop back a little bit. Remember when I asked about what can the world do to refresh you?
Right.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
So the only refreshment that we as believers get is through the Holy Spirit. That's the only place where we get true refreshment or rest. And that's really the key is what he was showing in Israel. They were dying of thirst and he gave them refreshment. And remember how the rock, what was the rock? The rock was Christ.
Yeah.
And so it's still the same for us today. The refreshment only comes through Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We cannot seek refreshment or peace or rest through the world. So it's incumbent upon us to begin to rely upon the Holy Spirit for that refreshment, because that's the only place we can get it.
Let me ask you a question right there. Why, how do I say this? Why the way... Can I go directly to the Lord Jesus for refreshment? It seems here that the conduit is the Holy Spirit. Is it?
Yes.
And you don't get each one of them individually. They come as a package.
You know, and the other thing which we've talked about before, and I don't know if it was in this class prior or what, do we go to the Lord? Is that who we go to in prayer?
To the Lord Jesus?
That's
who I go to.
Who is Cheryl? Had the answer.
You go to the Father through the
Son.
Through the Son. by means of prayer.
Yeah, that's right.
Our prayers are to the Father.
I agree.
And that's what, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's to the Lord, but really our prayers are to the Father through the Son.
Yeah.
And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So it's
Spirit guides our thoughts. I mean,
right. And that's what we found in the Romans class was, you know, which was the interesting part is that, you know, the God, the Father, he scans the mind of the Spirit when he's interceding for us in as believers.
Right.
So, you know, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So the interesting part in the Romans class was that the Father seeks the mind of the Spirit for us. And it's kind of interesting that that's the conduit, as Mike was saying, that's the conduit to the Father. But the
prayer. I was just going to bring up that passage in Romans 8, where the Spirit is interceding for us, because you know he's basically editing our communication, right? He's editing our prayers so that you know they're acceptable to the Father, and so it's like you know we think God the Father speaks English, right? He only speaks his own language, which is really what the Spirit is doing, is editing and interceding for, you know, our weakness, really. That's what it's talking about there in Romans 8.
And, you know, the interesting part is, too, I think in that is, you know, we think, and I think it's right, by the editing, you say he's interceding for us. I think the bigger thing that I think about with the Holy Spirit in this and what he does, he knows what's best. He knows the Father's will. He knows that. You know, we may think we're asking for whatever, but he knows what's best for us. Mm-hmm. And that's the important part, I think, is not only the editing, but he knows what's best.
Well, and that's what it says there in Romans 8:26. It says it helps not our weakness, it's the weakness. And I think the weakness is we don't really know how to communicate.
That is weak.
Right. And that's it. I mean, we think we know it, you know, and that's, if you know, it's actually in my prayers, if it's God's will. And we'll get into that a little bit later here in just a minute about that. But I think it's interesting that a lot of people pray to the Lord, which that's yes, but I think the scripture says we go to the Father. Is the one we say, you know, that's why it's to the Father that we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I think a lot of people pray to the Lord, but it's really to the Father is the one that is we're supposed to, I think, scripturally. I don't think it's wrong. And again, as we just said, it's the Holy Spirit interceding. He knows what, and he'll intercede for that. Even if we pray to the Lord, it's still to the Father.
You know what, Courtney, I'm thinking as you and Brian are talking, I'm thinking about like the Romans passage. Where's the direction in the Romans passage? It's from God to me.
Yeah.
It's not from me to him. And I think it's the same thing here in the sense that the rock is struck and the water comes out. It's for my refreshment. So it seems to me that I'm the ignorant one. I'm the one that doesn't know the Father's will, which is If I could see everything like he sees it, I would recognize that whatever he has for me is the best thing by far for me. But he's taken the pains of all three persons of the Godhead to get involved in educating me, showing me, and refreshing me about what his will is for me. And it is satisfying. It is what he has determined is best.
Yeah, I think the only fear that I get into when we get into a little bit of this is the fact that he wants us to come anytime, any place, anywhere.
Right.
Even if we ask the wrong thing, he wants us in that communication. We don't know. We come, and that's why in the Romans passage, he intercedes for us. Yeah. And it's, again, the Holy Spirit knows what's best for us, and he know that's what God the Father is communicating with the Holy Spirit is what we need, what's the best for us. But that doesn't preclude us from going before the Father anytime, any place, anywhere. He wants that communication, that intimacy. Even if we don't know what we're asking incorrectly, I think that's where we get to where, which will, some of this is, whether the answer is no, maybe, yes, delayed, but we have peace about that, knowing that he's heard us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us, and even if we ask the wrong thing, the Holy Spirit's working what the Father's will is.
And as time goes on there, I think there's an adaptability on our part where we start to, we end all our prayers, Father, if it's your will, or start them that way, so that you recognize that it's like we were talking about a week ago, that the Lord Jesus came to do the Father's will, period. That was it, nothing else. Yeah. And he never varied from that. Well, that would be wonderful if it was our attitude, that we're here to do the Father's will, nothing else.
Right. And I think, you know, I think we talked about this a little bit maybe last week or the week before, is that on a new believer, a lot of those are answered. Sure. And, you know, in almost not like sign gifts, but, or, you know, signs or whatever, but it's like the answer. Yeah, the encouragement. That's the right word. Yeah. He encourages us by that, but he slowly weans us from that. And then the answers are, as we're, you know, the answers don't come, and you have to rely that God is answering. And to know, maybe delay or whatever, and he takes you through that growth process. Same thing with what we're talking about last week with Jimmy, and the fact that you know, he's struggling with recognizing sin in the flesh. Well, that's long ways in the process where you're finally identifying what Paul did in Romans 7. But and so some of those answers, you know, the answers come very difficult a lot of times in that. But as you grow, you understand. Your answers are based on the Father's will, not what you want.
Right.
And that's the spiritual growth, is when you start realizing that you can ask for anything, but you have the peace knowing that whatever the answer is the best for you through the Holy Spirit and the Father's will.
Yeah, I like that.
So, so actually we're getting back to the refreshing part. You know, I think, you know, developing what we have through this, you know, that we get nothing out of the world. So Rideout puts it this way: thus the refreshing power of the Spirit all through our life is set forth in water. To the woman of Samaria seeking satisfaction in the pleasures of sin and the world, he promises not only the gift of a draw of water, but a well springing up evermore. As in new birth we have the bestowal of life by the Spirit, so here we have him dwelling in us, maintaining and developing the life. And also, basically, as I read before from Rideout, Christ, smitten of God for our sins, sends forth the Holy Ghost for our refreshment. The rock smitten ensures safety and what? The abundant supply for all of our needs in the wilderness through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, the question I have is that an adequate assessment of one of the Holy Spirit's functions? That he refreshes, but there is also a in that, let me read it again and see. Christ, smitten of God for our sins, sends forth the Holy Ghost for our refreshment. The rock smitten ensures safety and the abundant supply for all of our needs in the wilderness through the Holy Spirit. So what did that say?
It pretty much covers anything I need abundantly. And oh, by the way, it is in the wilderness.
Yeah. Yeah, that one gets away from us a lot of time. That wilderness,
thing. Yeah.
You know, when you want to be in the luxury hotel and getting all your needs met.
Oh yeah, you come to South Florida and you think you're out of the wilderness. No.
Yeah, and the beautiful mountains here.
Right,
you know,
on the edge.
The fall colors up here, the beauty and all this. Yeah, still in the wilderness here. But so I guess the question I have. Is this how we view the Holy Spirit? Yeah, we look at Israel and all this and all them, and you know, oh, you know, shame on them. Ooh, ooh. So same Spirit back then, same Spirit today indwelling. Yeah. Is that how we view the Holy Spirit? What do you think?
I think early on it isn't. I think we view him as the one who fixes all my problems.
Right.
But then as time goes on, like I was saying before, I discover through his work that God's will for me is perfect. Yet I recognize also that I'm dependent on him to implement, to supply, to do everything. So,
yeah. You know, it's getting that point is like, I guess the verse says he supplies, you know, the rocks meant the abundant supply of all our needs in the wilderness. And, you know, do we rely on the Holy Spirit for our refreshment?
Right.
Do we do that today? You know, in the desert, do you rely upon him in the desert of the world, basically?
Right.
Do you rely upon him for the refreshment, or do we need him to rely on him to supply all our needs in the wilderness? As you said, in the wilderness, you know, this is the blessings trap versus, you know, when you're in the blessings, you kind of get, you know, you look more at the gift than the giver.
Yeah.
And then in the desert, when you're in the desert, you still rely upon the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Well, there's probably different phases. There's stages of the wilderness. And so it's probably not until you kind of reach that bottom of heart that you start looking at it for the refreshment.
That's good.
I didn't hear that. That was kind of echoey. Who hit the mic?
I was saying that there's different stages and phases of the wilderness.
Uh-huh.
And so it's typically when you get to that kind of rock bottom part is when you start looking to him for the refreshment.
Yeah.
You know, that's as you're kind of on your way down, it's like, well, I can fix this part of the wilderness with money or getting a different job or, you know, whatever.
Right. You know, that when you always say that, it's my, and Mike, I've told Mike this several times, you know, when I in the business world and I get a great contract on something and I'm thinking I'm a pretty sharp guy, you know, I did it all myself. I think of Nebuchadnezzar and looking out of my whole kingdom there and how much I created. And it wasn't until I got down eating with the cattle and looked up that, you know, I started realizing where it all comes from and who supplies that and who's the one who has the abundant supply and who's the one who really supplies all. It's not mine, you know, and I can look out in my great kingdom and my great contracts and my great whatever, and it's only because it's out of his hand that he's given me whatever. You know, he uses me in different ways. I mean, I don't want to say that I just can sit on my duff and not do anything, but it's everything is out of his hands. And so that's the abundant supply. That's where we get our refreshment. You know, the world... That's why I went in one of the previous questions. We don't get anything out of the world. And it's whatever he supplies is where we get refreshment. And, you know, it's false. We get it through people, through money, through anything in this world. We don't get refreshment. It's only through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit satisfying us in providing what God wants us to have. And so it's, you know, I guess the biggest thing I kept thinking about was, you know, do we really look at the Holy Spirit this way as the way he's the one who provides? And I think many times all of us, and I'm looking in the, I have a mirror right in front of me. I'm looking at the mirror saying, do I do that? Do I rely upon him? You know, and the refreshment. And I think as we grow, we become more dependent upon him for our refreshment. So, the other thing. Yeah.
I just wanted to say that learning to rely on the Holy Spirit is a learning process. You know, the God didn't supply all the Israelites' need when they thought they needed them. He waited a little bit until they were thirsty, and then they started complaining, and then he provided for their needs. And it's the same way with us. You know, he doesn't provide our needs when we think we need them. He waits a little bit until we realize the need, until we turn to him, and then we can ask him.
I think the other aspect of that too, Jim, that I like, well, maybe not at the time, but when he answers in a different way, and I'm going, what are you doing? You know, this is taking me in a completely different direction, I'll tell you. And I think I may have said this in one of the casts recently, you know, being in the brethren and all this and being, you know, elders, deacons, you know, and all that and being in that. And then what transition and the issues that went on and slowly giving that up after 20 years and going to Holly Hills, that was a huge change in my life. huge change. And I couldn't understand, you know, why the Lord was doing this. But, you know, now, however many years, 20 years here at Holly Hills, I can't but thank him. At the time, I didn't know what the heck was going on. He wasn't answering my prayers in the way I was asking. But 20 years looking back, I can't but give him thanks. And I think that's a lot of what the Holy Spirit does too, is he gives answers that we don't understand at the time, especially as you grow in the Lord. There are a lot of answers that come back that I don't understand, but you rely upon in those two things I've done, the sovereignty of God and the love, the eternal love for us. If you understand that, you understand that whatever he's doing is for your good, and he loves you, and it's his control. And if you rest in that fact, you can, you know, rest at whatever, and this is, again, going back to what we were saying at the beginning, is the Holy Spirit knows what we need. Even though we don't, he knows. And if we rest in that fact, that even if it doesn't answer or delays our answers or takes us in a completely different direction than what we want, we rest in the fact that, he's given us our best, the best for us. And a lot of times, like I said, I don't know if in anybody else's life, but where it's been a, you know, a right turn that you didn't expect, but when you look back, you thank him for it. And that happens numerous times in my life. So anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Go ahead.
Courtney, along those lines, like we were talking about, that he supplies all your needs, and we got to remember that he's looking from the eternal perspective. Sometimes the things that we need are not at all the things that we think we need, you know. And yet we may need to go through, you know, those deserts and so forth because of what we need from the eternal perspective, right?
Yeah, and you know, in the desert it's hard, but you know, that's why I think my two things that the Lord has been beating into me was, you know, the sovereignty, he's in control, but the other is that he loves me. Even in the desert, he loves me. You know, and that's the thing that I think in as you grow and you understand that's what gives you peace, rest, and all, you know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, joy, peace, you know, all those at the aspect of the Holy Spirit is when we realize that he loves us, he's taking us in the best direction we can, and that ultimately whatever, even when we go through the trial, the outcome is that we are, you know, dependent upon him, being conformed to his image. And that's really, you know, the refreshment coming from the Holy Spirit is knowing that that's what's happening. And the one thing I want to touch on a little bit is that, you know, that this can be misinterpreted as the Holy Spirit, you know, the one who provides all the abundant supplies. It can be misinterpreted as that he'll provide anything I want, you know, his abundant supplies. That's incorrect. We're provided everything that is in accordance with the Father's will.
There you go.
And that's really the keys that, you know, a lot of people, and, you know, looking at John, 1 John 5, 14 and 15, this is the confidence with which we have before him, that if we ask anything, so we can ask anything. That's the point I really like, is we can ask the stupidest thing. We can't. We can ask anything. But this is the key. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that with requests which we have asked from him. So again, it's the in accordance with his will. We may not know what his will is. We can ask stupid things. And it's the Holy Spirit who intercedes and then provides what God wants in our life. And that's the abundant supply. But again, it's kind of the thing. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there that, you know, he will bless us, or, you know, the whatever they call it, the
name it and claim it.
Yeah, name it and claim it. Exactly. Name it and claim it. And that's not what this is.
And if you don't get it, it's because of your faith.
Right. Our faith or our sin or, you know, all these things pointing at us. And it's like, yeah, name it and claim it. It's not what is what we're supposed to do. So,
you know, Courtney, Mike and I were talking this morning. I'm about to start teaching Titus, and in Titus 2:11, it talks about grace being the instructor, our instructor. And so you kind of have, as you kind of move on in the Christian life, you kind of go from this law-based mentality of, you know, you got to work for the Lord and to please him. And then you start learning about grace, and, well, grace is do whatever I want. However, you look at 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, for the love of Christ compels or constrains me. And so when you realize that you were a slave to sin, but now you're free, no, it's not what it says. You're a slave to righteousness. There's a constraint there. And so to your point in about asking anything in his name, the constraint is, well, whatever's according to his will.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of go from God give me a gazillion dollars to, well, God give me whatever your will is.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and I think
that process.
You know, even before the grace side of it, again, we've talked many times in this class that the important part is the identification truth, because you're always going to be trying to improve the old guy. And that's the, I think, the single most crippling aspect to Christians today. I think they're, again, millions and billions of believers, but they're crippled by the fact that they don't know the identification, that they're trying to, you know, now, you know, and going to this too, is that now the Holy Spirit allows me to keep the law. The law will now empower me to, you know, overcome this sinful flesh. You know, it's all that without the identification, you're still struggling with all that problem of how you're dealing with the sin and the sinful man, and you're trying to do it through fleshly methods. And
another thing I found is the Father, Son, and Spirit are one, but when it comes to the Spirit working in me, I think it's more discipline. But the truth is he's full of grace and truth too.
Yes,
you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And to acknowledge that, hey, bro, hang out with me today, you know?
Well, I think, Mike, the thing is that, you know, we look at the abundant supply and all that, but exactly what we're going through here, it's the Holy Spirit that refreshes us. You know, and again, go back to the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
Those are all. Go ahead, Mike.
You know, based on the conversation Brian and I were having this morning, I was thinking that we touched a couple of weeks ago on the doctrine of the two men. And the last man, the last Adam, came to do the will of the Father only. And that's all he ever did. Enabled by the Spirit, refreshed by the Spirit, but all he was doing was the will of the Father. Well, I think that we as now sons, that's the program that they're working in our lives, is that we will only do the Father's will. The problem with Adam was is he stopped doing it. He started doing his own will and acquired strength over and above in the sin nature, thinking that he had the ability to decide and implement, which he doesn't. So it's interesting that the Father treats us exactly like he treated Christ when Christ was here. He made him totally dependent on himself and the Spirit.
Well, you know, and the answered prayers are according to his will.
Yeah.
The things that are going to be answered are the things that are according to his will.
Yeah,
you know, we can do a lot of other things, but it's the things that are going to be answered are according to his will.
Well, and you tie that to that Romans 8 passage, it's the same thing there. It says that, you know, he searches the mind of the Father looking for what? The will of the Father to implement in our life. That's
right.
What he's doing.
Right. So it hasn't changed from what Christ to us. Same thing.
Our sin nature tells us that we would be much better off independent, when in fact we were created to be totally dependent on the Father himself.
Yeah. Well, let me see if I can get to the last question, and then Mike, maybe you can get one or part of one going in. But
okay.
Question 7, the first paragraph on top of, and I'll just go through the answers, I think, on this one. The first paragraph on the top of page 37, which, if you happen to know where 37 is and all the different versions, the author describes the dew, quote, dew from Psalm 110:3. And what does that mean? So I'll just go through what he had responded. In the 110th Psalm, it is said of our Lord, thou hast the dew of thy youth, His vigor and freshness are perennial and eternal. To Ephesus it was said, thou hast left thy first love. They had lost the freshness that marked their early stages of divine life in the soul. Of how many beloved brethren must this be said? No outward fall has marred their testimony. They are above reproach and in many ways commendably zealous, but there was no dew. Truth has taken clear form. Doctrines can be distinctly stated. A keen scent of error is present, but oh, where is that freshness which ever marked our adorable Lord? Therefore, ere leaving this part of our subject I've dwelt upon, we have a well in us, an inexhaustible supply. Within us dwells that well from heaven, the Spirit of our God. Again, I think this is really just kind of the abundance and the beauty of what the Lord provides, that freshness, that refreshment, that well of that eternal well of life. And again, as Ephesus, they left their first love. And I think a lot of us sometimes leave that to look to the world and the flesh. And we need to, again, look at the Holy Spirit, the one who provides abundantly and is the only source of refreshment to us in this crazy world. So any final thoughts? Otherwise, I'll turn it over to Mike.
Yeah, I got a final thought.
Yeah.
I looked it up in my Bible, the verses, Psalm 110:3. And it said in, I think, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, the meaning of the Hebrew here is obscure and uncertain. Well, this is what I wrote. But it could mean, as Rideout says, the freshness that marked the early stages of the divine life of the soul. Immature Christians need that freshness. But those who grow spiritually through trials have learned to trust God when the road gets tough and through times of sorrow, grief, and pain. The ever-present supply of the refreshing water of the Spirit is always there, but the innocence of youth is forever gone.
And that goes exactly with the Israelites. The guzzled didn't get to go to war, only the ones that drank from their hand dipped.
Yeah, you're talking about Gideon there.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good, Jim.
That's really good. I like that because it actually, I think that that's the experience of lots and lots and lots of believers, that they there's an initial enthusiasm and, as he puts it, do that marks the Christian life, and then there's a slow erosion of the enthusiasm of salvation. And I think that, like you're reading, Jim, the trials and tribulation really are blessings to, how do I say this, bring back the enthusiasm, understand the grace, learning what it's like to live in the desert, even though you've been rescued. So,
well, you know, that also goes back when you say that, but to trials, you know, I always go back to the James one. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. How does that a good start, lead off?
Sure.
Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. But what is it? Knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance, and let that endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete. So he takes you through that. And I think the joy may not be right at the beginning, but the joy is at the end when you realize, as I was saying, you know, for me, you know, leaving the brethren and, you know, kind of that heart just torn apart. But now looking back through that trial, it's a blessing.
Okay, so based on what you said and based on the finish of your questions, that the first question of the next of lesson 15 is really, how does a believer choke the Spirit within himself, and can he do anything about it? And isn't that interesting that Rideout goes right to the choking off of the Spirit, and can the believer do anything about it? So first question, how does he do it?
Well, do you want to start that, or you want to, it's 45, should we? You want to start that next week? Have everybody ponder that?
I'm setting up for next week.
Yeah.
So the point being that, the believer does do that. He doesn't realize it, I think, at first, that that's what he's doing. He's drifting in a boat away from the dock. The next thing you know, you're a long way away from the shore.
Yeah.
How did I get out here? You know? But the refreshing and the joy is gone. I left my first love.
I like the way T. Austin Sparks explains that with the ship coming in to moor.
Uh-huh.
You got to catch that rope at the right time.
Yeah.
To pull the boat in.
Yeah. So actually the answer to the first question is in the question.
Yeah.
So that's what you'll have to find next week is what's the answer to the question? It's in the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't we close and then we can start with that one next week.
Okay, Courtney, you close.
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you again with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and what that means. And as we've gone through this lesson and through your scripture, we just realize that everything comes from your hand through the Holy Spirit and the abundant supply through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And again, you have asked us to come before you anytime, any place, ask anything. But the caveat is that in its accordance with your will, and even though we can ask for anything and you want us to have come before you anytime, any place, anywhere, again, the answers will be in accordance with your will. And just give us a heart to realize that many times what we want is not what's best for us. The Holy Spirit knows what's best for us. You know what's best for us. And you answer in that way that best provides the growth that we have and ultimately the conforming to us to the image of your Son. So we just pray for that we become sensitive to the direction of the Holy Spirit and that we realize that the answers that come through our prayers to you and our relationship with you, it's through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit directing us in a path and in a way that will grow us in Christ. And we just thank you for that, even though many times it goes through trials and unanswered prayers in our eyes. And answers that don't go in accordance with what we think. But it's if we just realize that the best direction is what you have for us through answered prayer in your will. So we just we thank you again for this time. We look forward to just any time we can get together and study your word, even if we're in different parts of the globe here. We thank you for it. And again, we just pray for the remainder of this day that all that we say and do will honor and glorify you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.